I'd like to call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. You all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a roll call, please.
Klinko?
Here.
Heinrich?
Say it again?
Heinrich, sorry. I won't be talking that loud tonight, guys.
Heinrich?
Heinrich.
Here.
If I can really listen. Noon?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Conway?
Here.
Hagan?
Here.
Tom?
Here. First up, we have the minutes of March 17th and April 7th.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on either of the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain on the one.
I have to just abstain from April 7th.
Okay. We have correspondence. Start off with, I'll accept the motion to receive and file.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion on these?
Is this an action item?
Yes, it is.
One will, yes.
Okay. Is this one table?
That's what it says.
Because I have pictures of last year, they had one table, one picnic table that was fenced, it was chained to three.
That wasn't them, though. That was somebody else.
Okay,
let's do the receive and file. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Then I would accept a motion to approve the outdoor dining table for the Lost Ladies Grill and have the manager give them the rules and regulations of that.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any further discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests.
Christine, I know you spoke to the gentleman at 166 North Lincoln
Ms.
Avenue.
Coleman, if I may, you name an address.
Oh, Shirley Coleman, 166 North Lincoln Avenue.
Thank you.
Washington. You spoke to the gentleman at 167 about his truck being in their yard at Big Mac. Well, here I do again. And he told me he was a volunteer for the fire department in the township. So perhaps he thinks he has special privileges, but I shouldn't do so. If you could address that again, I appreciate it.
Okay, I'll follow up.
Thank you.
Okay. Deborah Franklin, 145 North Lincoln Avenue. I'd just like to know what the status is for the street. I know the last meeting they said that the following week they were going to start on New Street, but we haven't seen anything, so.
Do you have answers for her, or shall we defer to Mr. Moore?
To Boston, because I can't talk.
Okay. Oh, this will be a short.
No, he didn't.
Sorry, I had to, Dave. I had to know.
I spoke to the contractor today. They will be out there this week. They should finish this week to do the curbs and the sidewalk portion. We will then work to schedule the paving through Tilcon, who's the co-op's contractor for this year, and that'll be dependent on getting on Tilcon's schedule.
Okay. And getting that done this coming week, I imagine, will be weather dependent.
It will be, but the prognosis right now for the rest of the week is fairly okay. So, you know, but he did say he would be out there.
Okay, so didn't you have a a date as when they will be starting North Lincoln after they finish the curve down there by the library?
No, because we have to wait till that gentleman finishes his work.
Mm-hmm.
We then have to get on the schedule for the paver, and that's really dependent on their schedule because they do the entire county. So they do all the paving for all of Warren County through the co-op, which is how we're paving this roadway. We will meet with them, and they will give us an open date, and they indicated it was about a day's worth of work for them.
Okay, as far as the grant, is there a time where this has to be done?
Within this year. It has to be completed within this year.
Within this year?
Correct.
So do you have like a month, like October, November, December, or?
In terms of?
When the cutoff date is?
The end of the year, December 31st. It has to be within the, but we're not looking, we're trying to get them on as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm.
It's really their schedule, and they, realistically, the plant, the asphalt plant shut down, depending on the actual temperatures, sometime in November.
Correct, that's why I'm asking.
So, no, it'll be well within that, the sooner we would expect, the better. Typically, they have open dates that are sooner, because a lot of municipalities tend to back date their work into the fall, the early fall. So usually in the May, June area, they have open dates, and that's what we're trying to get onto their schedule for. As soon as the curb work is done, we want the closest date that we can to finish,
mm-hmm.
to be able to finish this work, and that's really what we're looking to do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hello, Marco Mateo from Washington Township, New Jersey. Say the mustache.
No.
Oh, it looks different about you.
Just part.
Oh, okay. I came here just tonight briefly to update you on the Washington Theater. You may or may not have read or heard the news about what happened, but I was recently evicted from the theater. In a situation that I feel I was kind of set up, and I just wanted to tell you exactly what happened so you don't, you know, hear any, you know, false rumors, which is so common in a town like this. But what happened was, about 2 weeks ago, I had given my my landlord, Dennis Schumann, $3,000 on a sign of good faith toward back property taxes, which is kind of like my rent. As a sign of trying to move forward to reestablish some kind of credibility with reopening the theater and addressing the fire code violations, which ultimately had shut it down on December 12th or 11th. He was kind of a little ticked off at me because about a few weeks prior to that, even though the building had an order to vacate from the fire marshal, I did go in the theater one time to grab a winter jacket when it was freezing cold out because I was working on a construction site the following day and I couldn't find it and I realized it was upstairs in the hall. So I went in and out. I don't know if that's technically trespassing, but I did go in and out of there to grab that jacket because I needed it. And that was it. And somebody had called him to tell him that they saw me in the theater. I mean, when I tell you it was like 1 minute, it was under a minute. Anyway. He was pretty upset about that, and that's led him to this process of lowering his cool, and he was going to sign this letter that he had drafted for a mandatory or a voluntary eviction, where I would actually sign this paper and save them the trouble of evicting me. Because he said if not, then they would just follow through and do it on their own. All right. So, I tried to calm him down. I didn't do anything for a few days, a week or so. I noticed the doors to Theater 1 about a week later, after this, were open, both doors. I found out from my neighbors to the left. So I went in there and I shut the doors. I actually had to step into the theater to pull down the latch, the door on the right, because it's tricky to shut, and I shut it and left. Well, the next day at work, he calls me again, and somebody snitched me out. I don't know how well to say it in the most, you know, honest way, but somebody is like either watching, or I don't know what happened, but he called me again. And same thing, you know. And then finally I was like, Dennis, this is ridiculous. You know, I'm like, I'm trying to reopen the theater. I would never do anything to harm the theater. I mean, he's got to know that. And he said, you know, in my mind, I was like doing, you know, half my, all my belongings are in there. So I'm here like thinking, well, you know what? I'm still a tenant. I'm going to shut the theater, you know. I've been doing this for 8 years. So anyway, I shut it. That went on, and finally I had this discussion with him about a week or so after that, and I really tried to be honest with him and saying, you know, I know the past 2 years I really have not paid you anything. I've struggled, I've done all these things, but I realize my faults and I can do a better job, and I have a game plan that I'm not saying it's foolproof, but there is a grant out there in June 19th that I could apply for 50% down toward a historic building acquisition. And in the meantime, let's work together so I can pay you monthly or weekly $1,200 that will go toward the back property tax and to keep the current taxes current as I try to make amends for what I owe past due. To keep the theater going for not just myself, but ultimately for the community and the kids and the people around. So I thought, you know, he found out I had this $3,000 that was donated to me from a local resident who had once remained anonymous, but my friend Greg. He did that so it would be going toward the violations, which I assume would be about $3,000 to $4,000. And since I have $1,500, his $3,000 would be $45,000, and I think I'd have a legitimate shot at passing the fire code inspection. Well, Dennis found out about that, and he demanded that I would send that to him, or else he wouldn't let me reopen my business. So I said, you know what? If it takes me longer, I'll do that for you. And I did. I actually deposited in their account, and he says, well, me and John, his partner, John Horvath, will have a meeting, and we'll decide how to proceed. He was grateful I sent in the money, and that was it. So about a week went by, he called me on a Monday with this ridiculous accusation that I had gone in the theater again after I said, listen, there won't be any more mishaps. I said, if I noticed anything, I will definitely call you first. Called me and says that I entered the theater and that I took one of my bats, that I have a bat, like a bamboo bat that was given to me, and I usually keep it on the corner. If you look at the theater, the door on the right that goes up to the offices, I kept that in case I was ever attacked. I had money on me, but I never used it, so I kept it in the corner. He accused me of taking this bat and putting it like above the closer of that door so that it would land on him. And I was like, what are you talking about? I said, first of all, I didn't enter the theater. I admitted to you the other two times that I did not do that. He wouldn't want to hear it. He had a police officer with him. And his ultimatum to me was I was either going to be arrested or I was going to sign that voluntary letter of eviction. And he did a pretty good job on me because I couldn't think straight. I couldn't call my attorney. I was by myself. And I went from one mood swing to another, and I couldn't think clearly. So ultimately, I didn't want to put any stress on people seeing me arrested. I didn't know if it was actually even possible to arrest me for something I didn't do. You know, and he's going back from saying that it was the first time, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. Anyway, you know, my father was home, and I was thinking of all these different scenarios. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to sign this letter, which right now I really wish I had not. And the police officer gave me a warning. I signed the warning. After I signed it, I was thinking maybe I should just say, no, I'm not signing that letter after I did that. But I did sign the letter of eviction. And that was it. And it basically, what his judgment was, is that, you know, I won't owe them any rent, which they said accumulates over $400,000 since 2006. But I would just be liable for it, essentially, as the back property taxes, which is about $40,000 total. So that was it. And then talked about my possessions, and then he gave me some kind of rebuttal about, well, you know, what do you consider personal? As soon as he said that, I knew that I was going to be in for some kind of a haul with these guys, because now he's going to, you know, I could see what's going to happen. It seemed like my PA and my speakers and everything else are going to be deemed sellable to pay for all the stuff. I don't think so. You know, the reason why I stopped here is to say two things. One, I wanted to update you on the situation. I'm sorry I signed that letter because I feel like I let everybody down on making a bad judgmental call because I didn't do anything. I did not do what I was accused of. I felt harassed. And when I say I felt harassed, I think we all were harassed by this because you have somebody now that previously had an accord with his father, Don Schumann, that the building would be sold for $250. When I handed over my keys, he said, by the way, the building's now worth $350. Well, there's no way in heck that Washington Theater is worth $350,000. I could say it's worth everything because that's how I feel about it. But realistically, it's an aging building with no dedicated parking, and it needs over $500,000 of an eventual renovation and restoration. I'm willing to still do this to make it happen. But when I look at the town and I look at everything that's going on, that theater is probably the most important thing going on. I know maybe not everybody may share that feeling with me, but from a standpoint of what it gives the community year-round, outside of the Borough Park and the festivities that we have, it's invaluable. There's got to be a way, there has to be a way to ultimately save the theater, and if possible, I need an attorney, or I'm looking for an attorney that'll represent me on behalf of myself and the town, because we're getting screwed over. I mean, I was actually able to get a deal for the Minions movie on July 10th, just one small movie that's gigantic, but that would be something for all these kids coming in and out of summer vacation, be able to see just one movie that's actually going to be the biggest thing going on this summer, along with all the benefit concerts and whatnot that we do and art shows and everything else that's been going on. And at the same time, actually addressing the fire code violations so that the theater ultimately is safe. You know, I'm not saying I haven't given my landlords a hard time with things. You know, I think it's a two-way street. There's a lot of things we both could have done to work better. I could have done a much better job to avoid the situation that ultimately caused the theater to close. But I realized all those things as it was shut down over 4 months. But I just feel like right now that either they're going to let the building sit and deteriorate as some way of like punishment toward myself and the borough, and letting it just be another eyesore, which isn't going to be anything good for the community or the business district. Or, you know, maybe it goes up in flames as part of an arson deal one day. Who knows? I mean, it's happened downtown. We all saw the fires that go on. Anything's possible. My job with the theater, you know, I feel like I let it down. You know, ultimately, it's still not safe. It could be raised for parking. Anything's possible. I don't want to give up on it. Everybody has told me to walk away, to have a fresh start with your life, and, you know, and I'm working a job now, and that's fine. But I'm still committed to finding a solution for the Washington Theater. And I think it really needs to be something that we all should partake in. I'm willing to do all the dirty work and effort to get it stabilized and reopened if possible, or ultimately saved. But there's got to be something we can do. I just don't want to be there to say, you know, we overlooked it. And the longer it sits dormant, the worse off shape it gets. And I just can't see that benefiting everybody. I mean, heading into the summer, it just makes no sense. I mean, I'm almost at a loss for words about what's going on. But I just feel like in today's, you know, this time frame, that there has to be something. Has to be something that can be worth it on behalf of the theater and the borough of Washington. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, and I, you know, like I said, I'm representing Washington with that theater. I'm not saying I've done the best job, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it work and to ultimately save it. You know, and if I can't reopen the theater and I can't go for this grant in June, then the only other question I would have for the council is, what is the formalities of having the borough try to purchase the theater? And what would I have to do to initiate that?
Let's see, is that a question that you can address at all?
Well, the theater would have to be put up for sale by its owner.
They are trying to sell it.
Okay, well, that would be something that the borough would have to undertake in its discretion if it wanted to do that.
There's nothing special about it because it's a municipality purchasing.
Well, Well, you'd have to go through all of the legalities that you normally would have to go through because you're purchasing it as a public entity, but there's nothing in particular that would prohibit you from doing that. I don't, you know, there's a slew of considerations to take into account in terms of operating and taking on liability and things of that nature.
Should I even be asking these questions? I'm a member of the board of the nonprofit. Should I be recusing myself from this now at this point?
Should I ask those questions?
Which nonprofit?
Mayor McDonald from my advisory board, as is Christine Blanchard.
So, Deputy Mayor Heinrich, I'll turn the rest of that over to you. I need to recuse myself from it.
In terms of us purchasing, like you said, there's a lot of considerations we would have to look at with that. You just mentioned $500,000 of restoration.
If it was to be renovated and restored back to a single theater, I think ultimately, you know, I've had discussions with people. The realistic thing is, you know, you don't have to try to do everything in one shot. The whole idea was to always save the building. I kind of let that slip. I'd like to refocus my efforts on making that a focus because the theater is that important to the community. If it's saved, then anything's possible.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. You're absolutely right that the theater, it's historical, it's good for the community. It's just something that the entire council would have to consider with the cost because, as you know, right now, we're having a hard enough time paving roads around here, and for us to take on a purchase like that, and as our attorney said, with all of the things involved, it's something that we would really have to evaluate.
I misunderstood. You're asking the borough to purchase the theater and utilize it as a business enterprise?
Well...
Or just, yeah, you can't do that. The borough couldn't do that. I misunderstood. I thought you meant just...
What about if the borough purchased the property and worked with my nonprofit to maintain it and operate it?
No, that would be... You cannot do that.
Can't do that.
The borough can't get into that sort of business.
So the borough would actually have to operate it?
Or
hire people to operate it?
I thought you just wanted the borough to... I thought your question to the borough was, could it acquire the property? And yes, it could acquire the property, but it cannot run a business in town. It's prohibited from doing...
So if you acquired the theater, then what would happen? Like, let's say you ultimately worked out and you actually purchased the theater, then what?
Well, my understanding was that it was not going to be operated as a theater. It can't be operated as a theater for profit if by the borough. It just simply can't be done.
Be like a museum or something like that.
That was my understanding, or have it, you know, because it was not up to code and
it
was
deemed as a historical site.
Exactly.
Historical site, public place, and museum.
It would have to be for a purpose like that. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
Could my nonprofit, which is a 501c3, operate it?
Not under the borough's ownership.
Yeah, not under the borough's ownership. Why?
There's just laws prohibiting public entities from operating businesses for profit.
Mm-hmm. But that's a non-for-profit company.
You'd want the borough to lease it out to you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to try to offset the tax increase.
To buy it,
buy the property, lease it out,
and turn around and sell it back to him.
Or I could assist with the funds that I could acquire for the building to maintain it, like the roof, the heating. I could try to take that responsibility on. I'm trying to get the borough to save the theater, and I'm going to try to do my part to maintain it.
I hear what you're saying, but, you know, potentially if the borough owned the property, it could lease it out to you. But, like, now we're going back to my original premise regarding liability and exposure to the borough for owning a building that's, number one, in a state of disrepair, and number two, it sounds like there is a lot that needs to be done in order to get it up and running.
To get it up and running is not so much insurmountable, but if you were going to do a full-scale renovation or restoration, well then yeah. But that depends on what you want to do. If you're going to remain as a twin theater to run movies and small shows, then you could go about, you know, with just getting the power restored, doing the roof repairs, and, you know, eventually upgrading the heating system so it's more pleasing, you know, for both sides. But if you were to just do the core requirements, it's a few thousand dollars. Ultimately, I have a grant sitting there waiting to have the electricity turned back on, and I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to be the one in there. But I can address that, fix the fire control panel, water point of use water heaters for the men and women's bathroom. Those were the major issues that would close the theater down.
I mean, that's the borough's decision if it wants to, you know, buy a property and lease it out. But I don't. it definitely can't own and operate a business such as the one you're proposing.
But is that possible for my nonprofit, again, to be the tenant? As if you were actually the new...
I'd have to look into it if there were an interest on the borough's part. I think you first have to jump the hurdle of obtaining some sort of level of interest on the part of the borough.
And what would I have to do to...
Well, you'd have to speak to the council.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Well, I know, but look at me, and I can't tell you whether it's...
What else did you guys want me to do? Like, how would you... I just got to figure out options. That's what I'm ultimately trying to do. I'm not trying to put the pressure on the council. Ultimately, I wish I can do it. You know, it's really just a ridiculous scenario. I'm trying to pay off the past due taxes, which I could understand they're under duress for, and then move forward with trying to acquire the building with a historic grant for 50%, which is great, through Warren County Municipal and Charitable. But, you know, as one option. But if that doesn't, you know, I don't have the opportunity to do that, I just don't like the scenario of the theater sitting there. And I mean, what happens if you condemn a building for some reason? What happens then? You know, has that ever happened here in Washington where a building's been condemned? Or
Marco, I have a question. A couple questions for you, if I could. All right. You said you're behind in the taxes, you have fire code violations, and you've been running the theater for how long?
8 years.
8 years. This might sound like a condescending question, but how did those things get in disrepair? If you were running the theater for 8 years, taking in an income, how did they get into the condition that they're in?
Oh, it's really the roof and the heating system, and I wasn't able to secure grants to upgrade those things, and that ultimately is what happened. The you know, the point of use water heaters, you know, when I got down to it, I kept putting it off. But
is
it's
the reason why you put it off? Did you?
I was running out of money, and the bank that I was my lender for the small business loan was trying to foreclose my parents' house, so I kept sending whatever money I had to keep my parents' house out of foreclosure.
Okay, So that's an issue. That's an issue right there. Your income, the debt, wasn't working.
No, it wasn't. Not the past 2 years. Not too well.
Okay, was it working the first 6 years?
It was working pretty well about the first 3.5-4 years. Fifth year was kind of like even, and then the sixth, seventh, and this eighth year were not. And it started trending downward. It started trending downward after Digital Projection came out and 3D movies became like a big hit, and then it kind of rebounded after that one, you know, and then music came in. And so it was like this top, you know, up and down thing. But ultimately, my lack of being able to keep the theater warm and dry caught up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately what happened. You know, I will say this. If I had done a better job of keeping it dry and just warm and a little bit cleaner, you know, and having a staff, things that I think I'm capable of doing, I don't think the sales would have declined as much as they had over the past few years. And I know that, and I accept that. You know, do I think it's a giant money-making operation? No, absolutely not. But I do think it can be slightly profitable and definitely, you know, beyond valuable for the community. And I'm willing to correct those, you know, mistakes.
What did you come up with the number for the renovation?
The $500,000? Just based on everything that, you know, from the ceiling to the roof to the heating system to, you know, possible seating reconfigurations to the bathroom expansions. I kept adding everything up, and it goes from about $500,000, could be $600,000. It depends on how and who does all the work, you know.
Here's what you have to understand. If the town were to purchase that, we would have to repair. And along with the repairs, we would have to pay prevailing wages, which are higher than what you could get it done for. So your $500,000 might cost us $1.5 million. Use the parking lot for an example. We sold the parking lot over here.
Yeah.
That parking lot was going to cost us $1.2 million to do if we did it. Sold it to the bid. Thank God for the bid. The bid did it for $390,000. So basically, there's $1 million difference there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration. Listen, I would love to see that place rejuvenated and, you know, have people that go to the State Theater out in Easton make that part of their stop. Smaller theater, smaller crowd, but for it to be used. Mm-hmm. Something like that out there. Have film festivals, have kids do, have community theater to have it used. But for us to take it over, it's going to be on the burden of the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were in financial trouble, you know, 7 years ago ourselves.
Yeah, I remember.
We had to dig ourselves out. And, you know, it's something that the council can talk about,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think any promises can be made,
yeah.
especially tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just thinking about it, you know, Blairstown, I can think Netcong, Newton, Belvedere, all have working community theaters, so if, I don't know how much you've investigated the process that they went through to, you know, to get their theaters to the point where they seem self-sufficient. But that often, mm-hmm. there are nonprofits that run these theaters, and they have to work very hard with the entire community to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the best chance for the theater is, you know, an organization that is able to really do large amounts of fundraising over time. And different, you know, different theaters have a different kind of niche, like the one that is in Netcong is a children's theater only.
Right.
You know, so you kind of have to look at what people need and what they're willing to donate to. You know, when my son was really young, we used to go to the Netcong theater. They have a lot of great children's programs, and people subscribe to that and give extra money, and that's what kept it going and allowed them to renovate it. When I started going there 20 years ago, it was in pretty bad shape, but the roof was, you know, okay. You know, and then over time, they've done a lot of renovations to the inside, but it took 20 years to get it to where it is now. So I think it does take the work of a lot of people to make a community theater work. Probably too much for us to plan during this meeting, but
yeah.
I think all of us would agree that that theater is a great asset to the community, and we would like to see it open and providing entertainment and community.
I just don't know what else I could do to get on the back of the... I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I just don't know what else to do to get back on the good graces of my landlord, you know. It's a horrible situation, and I wish I had better news for you guys, and I just feel like I let everybody down, and I'm just trying to remediate the situation, because ultimately, like I said, it's the community that's losing out. I mean, yeah, I could just, you know, I could work forever, pay off my loans, and that'd be it, but it's still not going to solve the issue of that theater being closed, and I think it's detrimental and it's wrong. It shouldn't be like that. And I, you know, I just wish I had one more shot at it, and I don't know what can be done to try to allow me to fix that problem and get one, at least one last shot at it. But that's why I came here. I just wanted to, you know, let you know what had happened. You know, and I'll keep you guys apprised of anything further. I mean, you have my contact information, so, you know, I'm easily reachable. So I would just question.
Well, thank you for coming and explaining the situation to us. Very much appreciated.
Yep, all right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
No.
Okay.
Clinda Bosley, 150 North Lincoln Avenue. In regards to the road grant that we were offered, or we've gotten, what about the curbing? There's issues along the road. I know my property alone, we have visitors or neighbors who have visitors parking on the grass. Is deteriorating our property. Snow plows coming through, also deteriorating the property. So what can be done?
Well, the grant itself didn't include curbing. I mean, that's a fairly, for that length of the roadway, would be a fairly large cost to include, you know, much more substantial construction to do that. So it wasn't included in the grant. Certainly, the, you know, the borough were to consider it.
Streets Committee has discussed it, though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, basically it was a more of a cost issue. We're limited in the amount of funds that were available, the state limited the amount of funds that were available, and it just was not something that could be accomplished with the funds that were available at the time.
So, with that said, I guess no curbings?
No curbings.
There's no money budgeted.
So, no forecast for curbings, or, I mean...
Perhaps next year, it could be revisited?
It could be revisited, but, you know, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to leave you alone.
I've been there 15 years, going on 15 years, and it's still the same, you know, we'll look into it, or maybe the next time we'll review it, or...
Yeah, I think we all are disappointed. We were able to put, I believe, $200,000 in the budget for this year for all, everything that we want to do for roads. And that is very little money, actually. And that was basically every extra penny that we could find, we put into that. And we, as we know from the state of the roads in the town, there are a lot of roads, just the roads that need repair. So I think that's why the Streets Committee told us to focus on the surface of the road versus the curbing. But I would agree with you. Curbing is important, and there's a lot of curbing when I go around the town that's deteriorating, even the curbing that is there. So we certainly have a lot of issues with our roads, curbing, and to some degree sidewalks, and we need to keep thinking about the best way to take care of that. And it's a concern for everybody, and I totally understand why you would like to have curbing.
Well, we did the budget this year. We're already looking at the budgets ahead of time just to put that money, to increase that fund. And we're trying very hard to decrease costs in other areas, but it just doesn't happen overnight. And I, just like Captain Higgins says, we don't want to give you that false hope and say, oh, yeah, we'll look into that next year.
Mm-hmm.
There are, unfortunately, other higher priorities right now that have to be done. If you drive around, I'm sure you'll see.
But, you know, it's not like in that part of the street, excuse me, has been neglected for a very long time.
Yeah.
So that was, this is my concern.
We put $200,000, and we increased it 100% over last year. Last year we only put $100,000 in. This year we put $200,000 in. We passed our budget. Then the state steps in. We lost $60,000 of that $200,000 because we have to make a repair somewhere else. Either that or the state's going to come in and do it, and they're going to charge us over $100,000 to do it. So we have to do it. So even though we planned the increase, after the budget was passed, we got a little slap on the hand, so we got to get this fixed. Where are we going to take the money from? Mm-hmm. It's a road. It's dedicated for roads. We have to fix it. So we lost money out of that $200,000. Mm-hmm. Next year, we're going to try and put another $200,000 in to get the roads back up. And you're right, the infrastructure has been neglected, but if you were listening to what I was talking about, Marco, we were in deep financial...
we had to get our financial house in
order
before we could do anything to the infrastructure.
You know, years ago, and now we're working our way out of it, mm-hmm. and we're trying to pay cash for everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we're going to look at it. It's on the list. Curbing, wherever there needs to be curbing, is always on the list. Curbing and sidewalks. But
I'll take curbing for now.
Have the curbs. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. I really do.
I guess I keep fighting. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, I know that the Transportation Trust Fund has been in the news a lot, but so far we don't think that there's any grant funding available for this coming year, right? As far as we haven't heard it.
Well, we did apply for Sunrise Paris.
Right.
In the years coming forward, I don't think so. I don't know if you've heard anything.
No, as of right now, the funding is secured for the grants which were applied for at the end of last year, which were the 2015 grants.
Which is Sunrise Terrace.
Those announcements are starting to come out. We have not specifically heard anything in regards to the project here in the borough, but I know some other municipalities have heard, so we should be hearing, hopefully, sometime very soon, about the status of this grant.
Okay.
What is in question, and I also believe the 2016 grant funding is stable. It's everything after 2016 where it becomes a question.
Anyone else?
I'll make a motion to close the audience portion.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Reports.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second. Any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Mr. Higgins, Street Committee, will you be giving the report this evening?
I'm going to defer to
the abstains to me. The Streets Committee did meet, in fact, yesterday. We discussed a couple of items, the most significant of which was the streets that for the 2015 year, which would go on the list to be paved. We obviously added probably more streets than there is money available, especially given what Councilman Higgins indicated about having to allocate certain monies to emergency, what I'll call emergency repairs. But I'll quickly, Dave, if you like, go through the list that we came up with.
Sure.
That would be great.
And I had also forwarded an email to Christine late yesterday with the list, so she could probably circulate it to all council as well. North Prospect Street from Carlton Avenue to Route 57. Park Avenue from Pahakong to Railroad Avenue. And I'll explain. There's some reasons behind that. Presidential, the entire length of the roadway. McDonald, the entire length of the roadway. Flower, from Hardy to Sunrise. Fillmore, from McKinley to Gibson. Jefferson, the entire roadway. West Warren. Warren, from Belvedere to Grand. And Stewart, from Belvedere to Grand. Particularly with Park Avenue, as you're aware, the EPA has a project going on right now where they're putting in a package plant to do some groundwater treatment. They will be resurfacing the road from 57 up to Pahakong.
31.
Or, I'm sorry, you're correct, thank you. 31 to Pahakong when they finish. So the remainder would be included then as part of what we were going to do here.
Right,
and that was really the reason for that.
A whole lot of neighbors come to my door.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, in all likelihood, yes.
Fillmore was on that list too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I said that.
You said Fillmore.
Yeah, that's okay. And again, what we will do is we will have Tilcon, who's the paving contractor, come out, look at every one of these locations, and give us estimates for each of those locations. So we'll have a total, which will likely exceed the available funds, unfortunately, and then we'll have to ultimately down the road make some decisions, and depending on how much the mid-block repairs take, there may be some additional monies that we're not anticipating left over.
Okay. And you're considering paving them with asphalt, not doing like oil and gravel?
No,
this is asphalt. This is asphalt overlay. Okay.
For the Park Avenue, we had information from the contractor for who's going to do the paving for the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was going to reach out.
We talked about that.
Okay.
We're doing
that entire road.
Yes.
The cost was effective.
Right.
Correct.
Have we looked into that or just not yet?
No, we're actually having some discussions with them now because they're having to make some changes in their process. Their groundwater injection wells will not be able to be completed because they're not functioning as they had anticipated. So they're looking at some alternatives, whether it's to connect to the borough's sewer plant or direct surface water discharge options. So depending on what decisions they make for that may impact what they're doing in the future. So we'll have to stay apprised of that.
Yeah, I mean, the concern was if they can do the whole thing, we don't get that seam.
Correct. Correct. Well, yeah, and I think we're going to push for them to do the entire width of the roadway from curb to curb.
Well, they are going to do that.
And then all the way to length as well, so we don't have any breaks or seams or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Dawson, I know this is a little off topic, but you just brought it up. Have you asked the question? I don't know who would ask the question to the EPA on this, of the discharge. I guess that their wells aren't taking the volume at further slug tests that they're doing that they're supposed to take from the system. And you got two options, either going through the sewer, which would be good for us because we can make money off of it.
Correct.
Now, going into any of the local water bodies is a really bad idea. There's enough water in these, and Robin, you'll definitely agree with me on this one. Is there anybody can talk to them, Christine, to opt to have them go through?
Well, we actually had a conversation. Myself and Kevin from the sewer plant met with them last week. I was going to bring it up subsequently as part of the discussion, but we met with them to discuss what they're considering. They're considering multiple options right now. Because this is a 50-year plus program, they're kind of looking at long-term costs here. So they're trying to evaluate. One, they asked us to evaluate whether the flows that they're going to be generating can be handled by our existing system or whether there would need to be upgrades. That was really the first question we had to answer. And we looked at that, and there's sufficient capacity in the existing system to be able to take the flows that they're anticipating putting into it. And again, as you said, having that additional flow to the sewer plant obviously creates revenue, and that's a good thing. So they're evaluating that. The other option they brought up obviously was surface discharge, and the air where they would be looking is right over by the railroad bridge along 57 there by Railroad Avenue. We discussed it. I personally tried to shoo them away from that a little bit just because it's complicated and creates other issues that maybe have to dealt with down the road. So, you know, that's still an open item of discussion. We're still having, both Christine and I, are having conversations with them about what they're doing. We have to meet with them to discuss a rate structure and whatnot for that and what the fees would be associated with them doing that.
What they would put into the sewer plant, would, if it goes there, would be the cleaned water?
Correct. Okay. It's treated water. It's really clean.
It's air stripped. It's actually cleaner than the water that comes out of your tap because it doesn't have any chlorinated compounds.
Yeah, it's very clean. They would have, and they're already permitted for some backwash water, so that wouldn't change. Now it would just be the treated water that's actually going to the sewer plant.
My concern would it cause any undue hardship on the sewer plant for new chemicals or something like that?
No, absolutely not. We spoke to Kevin, and they're perfectly okay with what we'll be going there.
Sorry to go off topic.
I was actually going to bring it up as I went through the rest of the discussion. So that's the list. We'll get some costs on that. We also discussed concept for the repair of the mid-block crossing. Obviously, we're getting some pressure from DOT to take some action on that. You know, they've most recently indicated that if we hadn't taken some action moving forward, that they would just remove the mid-block crossing altogether and eliminate it. We certainly don't want that to happen. So I've been in conversations with the DOT and their pavement group to see what kind of paving section they would require. And making some other adjustments to the area around the mid-block crossing to make the pedestrian/vehicular interconnect a little more safer and a little more clear. We went over that at the meeting as well.
After the meeting, we went down there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about closing that alleyway off, maybe making it a one-way. You know, the one
that's
fine.
There. Yeah, we can certainly.
Because there were a lot of cars that were using it going in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue was coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's
in between.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, well, we did talk about other things.
Yeah.
You got to read.
We did that. We talked about for the mid-block. What else did we go over, Dave, did I miss?
We also identified for the next meeting a discussion topic of maybe no overnight parking between...
Oh, that's correct, yes.
...hours, you know, between, say, November...
For the winter season.
Yeah, for the winter season, no overnight.
Especially when it was plowing and things of that nature going on.
And we also talked about the signage.
The handicap signage, yeah.
Handicap and no parking signs going up for what we did. We also talked about for the rec committee, Lower Park Road, where the handicap area is. And we still don't have the paver, huh? For Franklin Township. That's another topic.
They don't even want it.
That's another topic. Don Henry was there at the meeting, and he said that if need be, they can dump, they can spread it with a bucket and get it ready for the season, so that needs to get done. We also talked a little bit about the issue with, how do I want to put this? The Warren Hills Board of Education. And
All right, well, I have a letter here also dealing with the Route 57 crosswalk there that they insist that we sign. So I would just like a motion to have you sign it.
I thought we were going to amend that.
Well, actually, because that is in reference to the specific thing that's out there now, and they're getting very antsy about having something on file, I think it makes sense just to simply sign it. We're changing it anyway, and we're going to be renegotiating whatever agreement once we make those changes. So we have an opportunity moving forward.
Leslie, did you have an opportunity to go over that?
No, I've not had an opportunity.
Okay, here's my opinion. I know how the state of New Jersey works, and if we go ahead and sign that for what's down there now, they come back and say, well, it's there, you got to replace what's there,
mm-hmm.
and you got to keep it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's my issue. I would vote no for you to sign it tonight, Mr. Mayor, until we get the issue resolved.
I agree with the amendment.
I'm just a little wary. We sign that right there, they're going to make us repair what is there.
You said
and instead of the $60,000, it's going to cost us $600,000.
Dawson, do you think they'll be willing to amend?
Yeah, I've had conversations with them about what we intended to do. This is really just backtracking to what should have been done previously.
Would they be willing to amend this agreement?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, because it's very, the agreement basically is somewhat generic. It's not specific in terms of its what's included. It just really puts the borough having to maintain and repair any damages that occur for any reason, but doesn't specifically list certain items.
But it doesn't say that it could be altered either in the maintenance of. I would like to see that in wording, that if it needs to be altered for maintenance purposes, that it can be altered. I mean, I'll make the motion if you want a motion to go ahead and have the mayor sign it, I'll do that. I make that motion.
Well, before you go any further with that,
can you give me a little bit of background, because this is something I'm completely
sure I can give it. So the mid-block crossing on Route 57, right,
mm-hmm.
downtown.
Yep.
It's about 8 years old now. That was constructed by the borough. It was approved by DOT.
Mm-hmm.
It's been installed now and functioning now for that long. Typically in those situations, there are then agreements that follow the actual construction. So there's a process that essentially identifies the mid-block crossing. So if you go onto the state's website and any of the highways that are state roadways,
mm-hmm.
you can find the locations of all the mid-block crossings throughout the state. right now, if you go there, the mid-block crossing here in downtown isn't there. Doesn't officially exist. So that process wasn't done. And typically, when third parties do improvements to state highways, there are jurisdictional agreements that require them to maintain and repair, and that's essentially what that is. It's essentially a memorandum of agreement that the borough would do essentially that. And after the construction some 8 years ago, I guess that process never was completed, and the
agreement process.
Correct. And it only came to light just recently because the state is now resurfacing all of Route 57.
Okay.
And so through their investigations, these questions started to come up, and that's kind of how we've gotten to this point. So they've indicated that if there is not an agreement in place, then they will simply remove the mid-block crossing, and it will no longer exist.
Okay.
That was the last communication I had from...
Would there be any problem with tabling this until our next meeting?
I don't think so. I think we have... I don't think it's a matter of we have to do it today.
Okay.
We just have to be able to move it forward, and that's what I've indicated to the state, is that we've been, subsequently going to have our attorney look at it and be able to add some other language into it so that we could. We just have to show some progress.
And they are amenable to us changing the language to some degree?
I think so. Yeah, I think we certainly could
negotiate
that with them.
Okay. Yeah, as long as there's no urgency, we can certainly...
No, I think if we came up with something by the next council meeting, I think that would be more than sufficient.
Do you have to make a motion to table it for the next council meeting?
Well, first, Dave, you want to withdraw your
sure.
last motion? Okay. Then let us table it and have the engineer and the streets committee negotiate a more agreeable term.
Who's going to prepare those terms?
Tell me what you want. We'll put them into
I'll come up with the language, the items of the specificity, and then Leslie can do the legalese.
I'll make it confusing. He'll make it simple, then
I'll make it
confusing. Okay. I would just say have the engineer and the attorney do it. What am I going to do?
It'll move faster if we just bring it to the next meeting.
Sure.
Okay, we'll try to have it wrapped up.
I think it does move to the next meeting.
Okay, then I would accept that motion.
Make a motion to table the memorandum of agreement with the Department of Transportation.
Yeah. And have the engineer and the attorney
work on amendments.
For the mid-block process. For the mid-block process. Okay, is there any other discussion on it?
Yes, I have one other thing.
Sir.
In between Get a Grip and Lost Ladies, is that official driveway?
No.
Okay, I've seen two or three people jump this curb and go over the sidewalk and park halfway on the sidewalk and go into this business. By accessing.
Well, that we can block off.
They do it all the time.
Yeah,
that we can block off.
There needs to be some police down there. All because exactly. When you step on the thing, there's people who drive like a bat out of hell going that way.
In between Get a Grip and
right.
Lost Leaves. They drive and they park right halfway in the sidewalk.
Fast, not slow.
And half on their road.
He's talking about the alleyway.
They come through that way fast.
Yes,
they come out that way, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
There is still some discussion about the width of the sidewalk and the curb there. Robin had some concerns that she'd like to voice.
My concerns down at the Midtown crosswalk is, there is no shoulder to the road. So if you're standing there going to cross, you're literally standing at the traffic line. So I had said something to Dave and to Dawson regarding pushing that curbing back a little bit. Because as you said, when they come down 57, they do fly. Dave and I went down Monday after the meeting in the rain, and we had to back up because all the water that was flying up from the road from people flying through there, your toes are literally the width of this counter away from where traffic is to where you're standing on the curb. So it doesn't give anybody even a split second if they step off that curbing before they're going to get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson made the comment that...
They still need to slow down.
Right, they need to slow down, absolutely. But Dawson made the comment that it's a shorter distance for people to cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking bringing it all the way back to where it was, but back somewhat of a degree to give people that little bit of safety concern with that curbing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it's about 3 feet. Would that bring more parking spaces pulling that back?
Well, it wouldn't bring more parking spaces pulling it back, but if we're going to take the pedestrian walkway that is this width and you're going to narrow it down, that's the question I had asked, is all the jutouts of the concrete, the way they go, do they have to remain further down going towards the nursery, the daycare? Down that far, do they have to still be there? That can we incorporate, I think it's two more parking spots on that side, another one on that side. I think the Get a Grip side and the Pocket Park side would have to remain because there's not any additional space there. But
that would be a significant cost, I would think.
I think that was what Dawson brought up the last time,
right,
that if we start changing all of that, it just increases the cost.
Understandable.
Do you have an estimate of that cost, Dawson? How much did it increase?
Approximately... My estimate right now is about, for just to do the mid-block crossing repair and the paving and what we had originally talked about, it's approximately $60,000. To do the additional work, probably about another $20,000 to $25,000, to pull it back. And what you will run into is, and I know it may seem a simple process to do, just to pull the curb back 3 feet, not to go back all the way, you're going to run into issues with matching pavers, and you're going to have to pull out all the pavers, reset the pavers, because you can't find those pavers anymore. They don't exist. And
yeah,
they've been out there so long.
We're taking the pavers out of there anyway, aren't we?
Hmm?
We're paving over that. We're stamping it. We're
No. That's not what I'm talking about. The bumped out areas that you're talking about that you want to pull back slightly,
mm-hmm,
they're pavers. They pavers up to the original curb line, then you go to concrete sidewalk for the remainder up to the building line.
Mm-hmm.
Those areas that are that have pavers in them would then have to get cut back, and you wouldn't be able to match those.
Well,
so
the reason why
I was asking
Dawson was because, you know, I just don't want to spend the $60,000, do the repairs down there, and 3 years later say somebody got hit by a car down there, or people are driving up over the curbing because... Dave saw it the other day. They are right to that curbing. And the curbing's all chipped away. The plows hit it. So you got to replace the curbing anyway because it's almost all gone down there.
Well, $60,000 does include the replacement of curb. You can't pull the pavement out without having to replace the curb. You wouldn't be able to do it.
Right. So that's why I was asking about pulling it back. Well, I want to do it once right and not have to 3 years later say, we spent 60 and now we got to go down there and do something else again.
First of all, let's go back. When Robin and I were there, there was a woman running back and forth crossing the street right there. Those lights weren't on. The lights on the signs weren't going off. The lights weren't working. So that's an issue, another issue that they're not working.
Right, and the second thing was where the walkway is. Sorry, David. We have to put those signs further away because, like today, I was at the pharmacy and I saw one car stop because a pedestrian was coming, and three cars, I thought they were going to all chain reaction, hit each other in the back end. It needs to be further away that people are seeing someone's crossing so they have time to stop, not all of a sudden someone steps off the curb and someone's stopping, because that's what's happening down there.
The issue of speed through there,
that's
is ridiculous.
Right. I see them coming through the light.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
When we were there yesterday,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they weren't slowing down at all.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing 25 miles an
mm-hmm
hour either. I didn't have a radar gun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, they were going.
Well, if that's, and I would say this then. What I would say is that then maybe further discussion is warranted. If that is of as significant a concern, then really I think there would need to be a step back to determine whether a mid-block crossing that's unsignalized is even warranted there from a safety perspective.
The issue that, I don't know if anybody has come from Easton over the new bridge,
right,
and seen that sign there,
mm-hmm,
that goes off red and blue lights,
right,
if you're speeding.
Right.
Every time I see that, I'm
right.
speeding.
Mm-hmm.
But I slow down because of that sign.
And we can do those. I mean, we can certainly, and I think if we're going to want to consider this, it becomes a larger project than what was just there to repair the existing mid-block crossing. Originally, the intent of this exercise or this effort was to repair something the DOT was going to have to make you repair, the borough repair anyway.
Can we move those standing signs further away from the crosswalk when somebody enters there?
Sure, you could. You're going to rip up all the paving. You're going to run new conduit. You're going to have to reconnect the... the lid, so they got to have power from somewhere.
But they're not working now.
Yeah,
but you
working
can,
now.
There's options. We can do. You can do a solar. You can do an infrared.
That's
you can
what
do.
They have in Easton.
But you know, again, what I would say is that if we're changing the scope or the intent of the effort here, and then that's fine, then we really need to sit down, have another committee meeting, and really understand what it is and define a scope of what we're trying to do. Because we're going from repairing what was already there to making significant changes. And that's going to be a more significant cost and more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's not warranted. What I'm saying is it's a different purpose. And so if we want to do that, and the council feels that it's important, because I know there have been concerns voiced about speed and safety and things,
right. Mm-hmm.
Then perhaps, you know, an unsignalized mid-block crossing right now, today, maybe 8 years ago, was sort of, you know, maybe now needs to be reconsidered. Maybe there's a signalized option. Maybe there's no option. You know,
well,
those things have to be
put. Those signs up anyway. We're just going to take the lights out.
The only thing that we were taking out was the flashing lights that are in the crosswalk itself, because
right.
you don't really need them necessarily.
So lights
right.
will still go off on the signs if
correct.
You get into that
right.
area where there's the sensors. Right?
Correct. In likelihood, what we would do is we would put infrared sensors as opposed to underground,
mm-hmm.
and then because you know they're minimal cost anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about a reconfiguration of what we have there, and that's really kind of where we're going with this.
We're talking about moving the signs. That's all
yeah, but we're also clear. Talking about moving curb lines back. We're also talking about safety issues now.
Might as well redesign the whole thing. Take the bollards out, because I'll tell you what, they don't work.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
that's why your lights don't work.
Well,
if
people aren't paying attention to the signs, moving them isn't going to make them pay any more attention to them either.
I mean, all I can say to everybody is, you know, between now and our next meeting, everybody go down there once and try to cross there.
I already did.
It's horrible. And if we're going to spend $60,000, let's not leave it horrible.
Because I gave somebody a few choice words.
Right. Let's make the changes where it's safe and what we need to do. So we're spending our money wisely, not throwing $60,000 away and still have a hazard there.
Do you think it's worth it to look into the cost of one of the signs that blinks to tell you to slow down so Dave doesn't speed through here anymore?
But that isn't that a separate issue from the crossing?
No, here's what we'll have to do. We will have to, if we're going to start doing those things, and again, I'm all for it into looking at those things, mm-hmm. there's safety issues, certainly. This project goes from a repair project of what was built and repairing what was there to something new. And that means that we would still have to submit to DOT, but we really weren't changing the function of the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
If we're starting to move signs and change signs and do things, that's a whole other level of
mm-hmm.
review by the
okay.
state,
mm-hmm.
and they may well come back and say, your current mid-block does not match our current standard,
mm-hmm.
which then would say, you're not repairing, you're now reconstructing, and
mm-hmm.
you now have to meet our current standard.
Okay.
Similar to the ADA stuff that we all have all gone through,
mm-hmm.
which becomes nightmarish in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my only concern, is that we expand the scope to a certain, to certain extent, that it no longer is just, hey, we want to just clean this up and make it more maintainable, to, hey, wait a minute, we have to redesign the mid block because it doesn't meet what they consider standard today.
There's also something else that's going on. Chris, help me with this. That the Washington Township Police Department is doing in conjunction with this, I think I saw a grant for it, which has to do with traffic and pedestrian safety along Route 57. I think Hackettstown did that maybe a year or two ago. How would that enter into this?
I don't think it will, because they're not doing anything.
It's education.
It's more of an
educational than physical.
Look at a ticket type program where they're going to be sending people to certain crosswalks, and if you're caught jaywalking, you'll be written a citation.
Yeah, and they're going to run little programs in the schools and teach kids how to cross.
Educational problem. Yeah. It's not an upgrade to existing crosswalks.
I agree with that, but I mean, as far as pedestrian safety goes, you know, before we redesign the whole thing, you know, that needs to be known.
Right.
That effort is going to be there, however it manifests itself.
Right.
And that's what I'm unsure of right at the moment.
Well, it kicks off in, I believe, late August, and they'll be running it through October.
Okay. And people who run through, you know, try to run over pedestrians, if they're seen, will be getting some.
Well, this is strictly, as I understood it, pedestrian only. They will have decoys, walking decoys throughout certain targeted areas in the borough, and they will be the ones who are given the tickets, not
in the process of re-examining everything, I think the Streets Committee should look at that also, make sure that we're talking correct here.
What I'd like to make a suggestion if council would be amenable to it, what I would suggest is that I schedule a meeting with the Department of Transportation and go down to try and meet with the traffic safety folks and have a conversation about what they consider repair versus what they consider and what we would need to do in their eyes if we were going to do more than just say repair. And then I'll try to do that between now and the next meeting so that when I come back for the next meeting we can do that, and then we'll have a Streets Committee meeting and be able to do that. I think then we'll be operating off of knowledge rather than suspicion.
That makes sense.
So if council's okay, I can go ahead and do that and schedule a meeting with the traffic safety folks in Trent.
Okay.
Then we'll know.
Yep, that sounds good.
Okay.
So Paulson and I are done.
Okay, takes care of streets.
She had a question.
Sure.
A question. You have mentioned about the street that was done to the green that was sort of paved. But we didn't hear more planting, so now we want to.
That's a grant.
Yeah, that's a state aid grant. That's totally different.
Right. So, and then the Streets Committee was meeting about additional streets that we would like to pave in addition.
Right, that's the capital budget portion of the paving.
No problem.
We didn't take it away yet.
Can I ask, if this sort of does have to do with roads, but it doesn't have to do with paving them?
Sure.
And I don't know if maybe this was discussed previously, but there's, I guess, a letter dated April 2nd about the Route 57 Scenic Byway, and there needing to be some kind of a...
I was going to discuss that later in my council comments, because I have that also.
All right, so then I'll let you do that.
Okay. All right, that takes us to ordinances. We have Ordinance 4-2015 for introduction. For providing funding for a zero-turn lawnmower, appropriating $6,000 for that purpose.
What?
And this is, Christine, this is from last year's budget.
Correct. Unexpended capital items or capital funds from last year's budget, which is in my manager's report this week. Then Natasha and I feel we can use to buy a new zero-turn for the Recreation Commission. Definitely needed. The old one did go to the road department, but they're going to work on it, keep it, use it for their own mowing purposes, because as you know, we mow about 22 plus yards, municipal parking, or municipal lots, et cetera, in the...
So this zero turn isn't for the
Borough Road Department.
No, this is for the Recreation Commission.
But the Borough Department's getting moving.
They have, yes, I'll have the old one.
And who cuts the grass for the Recreation Department?
They hire their own seasonal staff.
Somebody like to move it for introduction?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any further discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Noon?
Yes.
Conery?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes. Ordinance four, 2015, and ordinance amending established, no, that's not right. Hang on, I have the wrong ordinance, I made a question, oh, last one. And ordinance providing funding for a zero-turn lawnmower for the Borough of Washington and appropriating $6,000 for such purposes. So move.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Public hearing of ordinance four, 2015, will be May 19th, 2015, and advertisement of the public hearing in the Star Gazette on May 1st, 2015.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? And a roll call on that, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Conery?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Next up under our new business, we have approval to apply for a 2015 Recreational Trails Program Grant application. So move.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that one?
I didn't see anywhere on here that it had, was anywhere matching.
There is.
There is.
I'm going to change that just a second. And the 20, the amount of the grant is $24,000. There is a 20% match of the grant, which equals $6,250, which brings the total cost that we would have to expend, including the grant, to $31,250. I reviewed the proposal, Dawson has reviewed the proposal, and I think I stated in my weekly manager's report that the $31,000 would be exceeded, the borough would have to come up with additional funding, and so would the Recreation Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The Rec Commission agrees with that, I know, Ethel.
Yes.
They know that they would have to come up with additional money.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably looking at $75,000 to $100,000 in funding to complete the project, and that's an estimate. We can apply for the grant. If we get the grant, if we're awarded the grant, we don't have to take it if we find ourselves in a position next year where we're not able to raise the money.
Mm-hmm.
But
we should try.
I think it makes sense to apply for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true of Railroad Avenue property?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It would be
sure.
Walking trails.
Just walking trails only?
At this time, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call on that, please.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Conery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
We have an application for a bingo license for St. Joseph Church. All the paperwork is in order.
So move. Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have resolutions 73, 74, and 75, which are redemptions of tax certificates. Let's do those together.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on those? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Conery?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay, we also have 77, 2015,
mm-hmm.
Dedication by rider for senior activities purposes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Vouchers.
So moved.
I have a second.
That's
question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
I gotta find it.
It's on the regular bill list, on the sewer?
Regular bill list. Page 10, 13.
10 and 13?
10 of 13, the recreation trust. What is this full ad in the Washington Messenger, May and June 2015, from Good Impressions? At $632.
Typically, that's announcing the opening of the pool, what memberships are, daily rates are. A feel-good kind of ad, come out and come see us.
Seems like a little high, that's all. It's normal for...
From May to June.
And it is full-page ad.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
And I had the mower on here, we'll be talking about that. That's it.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Pottering?
Yes.
Fagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Pottering?
Yes.
Brunko?
Yes.
Recap. You have enough voice left to tell us what we gave you to do today?
I don't know, I hope so. Communicate with the Lost Ladies Grill regarding the table. We'll look into the truck at 167 North Lincoln. Coordinate the effort between the municipal attorney and the municipal engineer to amend the agreement with the DOT. Although Dawson, in your meeting, are you going to discuss that with them, or will we do that?
No, I think that's probably best off separate.
Separate,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to mix.
We'll get an update from Dolphin on his traffic safety meeting in Trenton, and that's what I have so far, Mayor.
Brings us to council remarks. Mr. Heinrich.
I'll make a remark about the senior advisory. I remarked to you about this from, earlier. We have our bus approximately half full for the sands trip, so there still are 25
yep.
openings,
yep.
approximately.
Right.
So it's good news. We're making progress. Robin and I, Robin especially, has been very busy handing the flyers out. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Well, I'm very happy to announce that the Washington Borough Farmers Market is going to open for the 2015 season, which has been a lot of work on the part of the bid and the green team to get that started. So we will have a farmers market from June 6th to September 26th on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And John Monteverdi, who's here, who's the new bid director, will be working on that along with the green team. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I think it will be a great weekly event for the community and should really help to get more traffic to our local businesses as well.
Josephine, where's that going to be held?
At the clock
area
power. Parking lot? Yep, in that parking lot and the pocket park.
Right where we had originally. Remember we drew the line.
So they had to block off that parking again?
On Saturday from 9 to 1.
Ms. Conley.
I just want to let everyone know that they're working on the
splash pad.
Thank you. Splash pad. The pool, and hopefully it'll be open this summer. And I just want to ask Christine, can you please contact our chief to have them sit somebody with a crosswalk? Because somebody's going to get hurt over there where the lighting isn't coming on. When you step off, thank God you don't get hit by a car. Because they come through there very fast. They sit all the way down by the loop wall instead of sitting up this way.
They sit down in the Methodist parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing nothing.
Yeah. catching speeders on 31.
No, and pointing at their lights at the time you come out of the street.
Anything else?
That's it.
Mr. Higgins.
A couple things. The solar farm. Have we heard anything from those people?
Dawson and I are still in discussion with Washington Community Solar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yep.
All right, that leads into the solar thing from the school. Have they started that yet, Scott? Do you know?
I don't believe so. I believe they discussed it at the last meeting. I don't have an update on it.
I think their meeting is coming up at the end of the month. It's this week.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay, you're referring to the feasibility study?
Yes.
And the signage for the no parking areas, that's going to go up soon?
When we have time.
When we have time.
Well, I did state in the manager's report that they're very, very busy with storm drains, potholes, and we do have brush pickup this week. So after those three items, I will break away several crew members and have them start the signs.
And that signs and decommissioning handicaps.
That's
and
correct.
Turning up and doing all of it together, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I showed this to Leslie earlier. This is an employee code of conduct for Mount Olive, in the township of Mount Olive. We don't have an employee code of conduct. I am going to either copy this. Does the copy machine have BizHub capabilities? Can I send it from the copy machine to her email?
No. I can scan it and then... we can do that.
Okay. So, I mean, then Leslie's going to review it and get back to us, correct?
Right. And as long as, you know, it doesn't, like we said earlier, as long as it doesn't sort of get into ethics, then it's...
Well, there is an ethics portion of that. We don't touch.
We deal with the statute.
Right. Are we going to have an executive session?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Glinko. One thing I wanted to bring up was in the municipal parking lot where you're going to be having your farmer's market, Josephine, I don't drive in there often. I didn't pay attention until David and I walked down there. There are, and I don't know what we can do as far as the police department, there are signs up there that says 2-hour parking from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I know for a fact there's cars that have been parked there for weeks and have not been So I know that was an issue with the old farmer's market, that when they went down there early in the day to start setting up tents and to section off a couple parking spots for the farmer's market, these people are nowhere to be found, and the vehicles are just parked there. So what do we do about keeping that 2-hour parking for those residents that live in those apartment complexes there that are parking vehicles there?
Is the 2-hour parking by ordinance so it can be enforced? Mm-hmm.
Why don't we hire
so we could tow people now? Right, but hang on a second, I'm a little confused. We have an agreement with Mr. Van Cleef.
I'm going to cut you off right there, Christine, because that's not she's not talking.
Okay, that's
about
what I
the
need.
Parking lot out back.
In the back.
She's
okay, we're talking about,
in the front.
On this right on the building.
Okay, right. That's what I need to clarify.
Right.
Okay.
And right, and all the residents that live in that complex
mm-hmm.
park there,
okay,
not in the back. And if they're there and they don't, you know, the cars, they're not using their car for a week, the car sits there for a week and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get moved. You know, if someone has their work truck there and they're gone in their work truck all week, their personal vehicle stays parked there. So every 2-hour parking or limited to 2-hour parking is not being enforced. And I think when Josephine goes with the farmer's market, it's going to run into a problem because I know it was a problem before, number one. And number two, it should be being enforced because
shoppers have no place
right,
to park.
Right, I was
going to
say,
parking
residents
down.
Have no place to park when they need to shop downtown because these cars are just consuming all those parking spots.
That's what we say every day.
Right.
Is there parking in the back?
There is parking in the back, but...
They don't walk that far.
Why should the shoppers have to park in the back, let
mm-hmm.
the residents who live there
no,
park
I'm just
in the
saying
back.
For the residents to park.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and that was something that we were going to plan for.
You can't force them parking in the back there
mm-hmm.
because it was part of a developer's agreement that says We're giving you 96 parking medallions, mm-hmm. you can park wherever you want.
Right, but it still is only 2-hour parking from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm. On the building.
Right.
Right. And I know that in the past, they put up signage in advance to let people know that here's this weekly event, like when they, you know, and there had been some concerns about that. So,
if you send me some information, I can pass along to the chief. We'll disseminate it to the officer in charge. That way, maybe we can head it off.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I know before it got disbanded, they literally were down there with the police and tow trucks and towing vehicles so they could set up the farmer's market.
Right.
Every week. And
right.
It was crazy.
We blocked off in front of the church on Friday with cones. Somebody actually stopped their car, took the cover cones, and parked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. Anything else that's come up? Mr. Thompson.
Just thank you for your cards and prayers. It was appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Moon brought it up. I'll start off with the 57 Scenic Byway. Has everybody seen the letter from them? As you may know, there was a Route 57 Scenic Byway study done probably 2 years ago. It was sold to us that, oh, you're so far ahead of everybody, you'll be first in line for grants, you know, as all these things come up. So we applied for grants, and they said, no, we're going to give them all to somebody else's, so not anywhere near as good as you are. I participated in that study. It has gone and done nothing, really, since then. Now they realize that they're in danger of losing funding, so they want to start it up again. They will be having a meeting on May 11th at 7 p.m. in the Washington Township Municipal Building. Someone, I believe, from the borough should be attending.
So I was going to volunteer.
Okay. Then
what time?
You? Unless it's 7 p.m. on May 11th.
What day is that?
A Monday.
So Ms. Moon has volunteered to go. Mr. Thompson, do you wish to go also?
If I'm able to drive.
Okay. Then that kind of takes care of that. They have the implementation plan here. You have it, Josephine, the implementation plan?
I do.
Okay.
I have everything.
Rich, I'll give you this so you can read up on it. I also have here the Highlands Commission 2014 annual report, should anybody wish to take a look at it, just holler, I'll let you take a look at it. This past Saturday, the Green Team went out and started to attempt to create a walking path by the sewer plant, by the community garden area. We were joined by Ms. Noon, Carly Sopko of ShopRite, who also elicited a number of donations of water, protein drinks, and various snacks for everybody who was there. The College of New Jersey was there helping plant some trees. Phillipsburg Youth Corps was there. SAVE, is it, from
yeah.
Warren Hills High School was there assisting.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody?
No, that's it.
Okay, and we got a lot of work done down there. Unfortunately, the Phillipsburg Youth Corps bought their brush cutter and couldn't get the blades to engage, so we didn't get quite as much done as we had hoped. But there was a lot done there, and we were going to try and do it again in October. 7 trees were planted. A lot of area was cleared out. And in particular, I'd just like to thank everybody who was involved in it for helping us with that. I look forward to it being completed. That's what I have. And then I would accept the motion to go into executive session for litigation. After a 10-minute break, that's fine.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?